Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, text 23, page 789. Read the Sanskrit together. Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanas Trividasmitaha Brahmanas Tena Vedascha Yajnascha Vihita Pura. Translation. From the beginning of creation, the three words Om Tat Sat were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by Brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Text 24. Tasmad Om Ityudahritya Yajna Dana Tapa Kriyaha Pravartante Vidanokta Satatam Brahmavadinam. Translation. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Text 25. Tadyana Bisandhaya Palam Yagyatapa Kriyaha Dana Kriyascha Vividha Kriyante Moksha Kamshibihi. Translation. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from the material entanglement. Text 26 and 27. Sad bhave sadubhave cha sad itye tat prayujyate prashaste karmani tata sach chabda parta yujyate yagye tapasi dhane cha stiti sad iti chochate paramachaiva tat artiyam sad ityeva vidhiyate. Translation. The Absolute Truth is the objective of devotional service, and it is indicated by the word sat. The performer of such sacrifice is called also sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the absolute nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Son of Pritha. Text 28. Ashudadaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kutam chayat asad ityuchate parta nachatat pretya no iha. Translation. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Pritha, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Chapter 18, text 1. Arjuna uvacha sannyasyasya mahabhaho tattvam icchami veditum tyagasya cha hrishikesha pritakkeshi nisurana. Translation. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Kamyanam Karmanam Yasam Sanyasam Kavayo Viduhu Sarva Karma Palatyagam Prahus Tyagam Vichakshana. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga. Text 3. Tyajam dosha vad ityeke karma prahur manishinaha yagya dana tapakarma natyajam iti chapare. Translation. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned. Text 4. Nishchayam shrinume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyagra trivida samprakirtitaha. Translation. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. And finally, text 5. Yagya dana tapa karma natyajam karyam eva tat yagyo danam tapaschaiva bhavanani manishina. Translation. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed indeed. Sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Going back to text 23.
From the beginning of creation, the three words, Om, Tat, Sat, were used to indicate the supreme absolute truth. These three symbolic representations were used by brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the supreme. Purport by His Divine Grace, Issi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It has been explained that penance, sacrifice, charity, and foods are divided into three categories, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But whether first class, second class, or third class, they are all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the Supreme, Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. In the scriptural injunctions, such an objective is indicated. These three words, Om Tat Sat, particularly indicate the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Vedic hymns, the word Om is always found. One who acts without following the regulations of the scriptures will not attain the absolute truth. He will get some temporary result, but not the ultimate end of life. The conclusion is that the performance of charity, sacrifice, and penance must be done in the mode of goodness. Performed in the mode of passion or ignorance, they are certainly inferior in quality. These three words, Om Tat Sat, are uttered in conjunction with the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Om Tad Vishnu. Whenever a Vedic hymn or the holy name of the Supreme Lord is uttered, Om is added. This is the indication of Vedic literature. These three words are taken from the Vedic hymns, Om Ityetad Brahmano Nidishtam Nama, indicates the first goal. Then Tat Tvam Asi indicates the second.
Chandogya Upanishad.
Sorry. Chandogya Upanishad 6.8.7 indicates the second goal. And Sad Eva Saumya Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1 indicates the third goal. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. Formerly, when Brahma, the first created living entity, performed sacrifices, he indicated by these three words the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the same principle has always been followed by the cyclic succession. So this hymn has great significance. Bhagavad Gita recommends, therefore, that any work done should be done for Om Tat Sat, or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one performs penance, charity, and sacrifice, these three words,
with these three words,
he is acting in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a scientific execution of transcendental activities, which enables one to return home back to Godhead. There is no loss of energy in acting in such a transcendental way.
People, it is considered very valuable if one can compress a great deal of knowledge into a small amount of words, or we were speaking with someone the other day. They were saying, small amount of words, but it should have a lot of meaning. Yes, that's the whole idea of the Vedanta Sutras. Sutra means just that. It's a very concise, almost codes. Sometimes the Vedanta Sutras are called codes. And whenever there's codes, it means someone has to know how to decipher the codes. Not everyone can decipher them. And that is precisely why sometimes codes are used. It's like Morse code, formerly in the armed forces, they had a system of communicating called Morse code. And only certain persons were informed what the codes were to mean. And so in this way, a secret message could be passed on. I think in the native Indian, also they had smoke signals, which they knew what they meant. And in this way, they could signal each other about important items. Language is also a code, but the supreme language is the Vedic literatures. And amongst all the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra is very famous and very valuable, because in just a few words, the whole summary of the Vedic knowledge can be explained. But it requires that the person hearing has to be very advanced in learning. Otherwise, if they don't know what the... It's like janma adhyasayataha. So that's the beginning. Of the Vedanta Sutra. So janma adi. So from the beginning, everything is emanating. Janma adi, janma jasa yataha. That person who is the source of everything is the absolute truth. So, it's very difficult to understand Vedanta Sutra without the help of the author. The author is Srila Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedas. And if one understands the Vedanta Sutra according to the author's meaning, then he will become self-realized. So the author has given his commentary on Vedanta Sutra in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And it's the original commentary. It is said that the Bhagavatam was written in Srila Vyasadeva's maturity. So this is his opus, his final, or shall we say his most, yes, his greatest work in his maturity. Nigamakalpataror galitam palam shukamakad amrita drama samyutam Pibita Bhagavatam Rasam Aliam Ahuraho Rasikabhu Vibhavaka. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahmasamitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Shreyasaya Lokasya Danyam Svastyayanam Mahat. It is the great work which explains Vedanta Sutra. And that explains why the Vaishnavas did not see any need for giving another commentary on Vedanta Sutra. The impersonalist Mayavadis, headed by Shankaracharya, he gave his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Sharirakabhasya, and maybe 1,000 years ago or something, 1,500 years, not so long ago, but it became quite famous because Shankaracharya is a great scholar, great learned person. But he interpreted everything in the Vedanta Sutra impersonally. And he contradicted Vyasadeva. But because this is the age of Kali, it became accepted. And so it was that the Vedanta Sutra became interpreted by the commentary of Shankaracharya. Now it so happened that at the time of Baladeva Vidyabhushana, there was a challenge that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were not a bona fide sampradaya, because the claim was that they had not provided a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Ramanujacharya and others had given their commentaries to defeat the commentary of Shankaracharya. But still, in Vrindavan, there was some, or Jaipur, there was some challenge. So, Baladeva Vidyabhushana the explanation was given that the Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So there's no requirement. It's not needed. The Vaishnavas don't have to give another commentary because the commentary is already there by the same author. How could it be better than when the author explains himself? So you find this Janma Dasyataha, that's also the Bhagavatam begins Janma. Janma yasya yatom vyari taratas charte sabhigya sarat tene brahma hridaya adikavye muyanti yatsuraya te jovari madam yata vinimayo yattati saragom rusha damna svena sada nirastakulakam satyam param dhimahi. I meditate upon the Supreme Absolute Truth from whom everything is emanated. So this is the explanation. That is the same person who imparted the transcendental knowledge within the heart of Brahma, Tene Brahma Hrida, Ya Adi Kavaye, Uyanti Yatsurya. And even the demigods are bewildered in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not easily understandable, but he's the source of everything, just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pavartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. Text 24.
Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with om to attain the supreme. Purport. Om Tad Vishnu Parama Padam Rig Veda. The lotus feet.
122.20.
The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity.
Om. Yes. In the Vedic literatures, we see the syllable Om. Krishna says, Panava Sarva Vedeshu, of all the Vedas, I am the syllable Om. Om is Krishna. Actually, it's made up of three letters. A, U, Ma. Aum, A-U-M. So, Aum, in the Akareno Chate Krishna, A indicates Krishna. And U indicates Radha. And Ma indicates the Jivas, the living entities. So together, A-U-M, this is the complete understanding of the Absolute Truth. There is Krishna, the Supreme Enjoyer. Then there's Radha, the internal energy, the internal potency of the Lord. And then there's the Tatastha Shakti, or the Jiva, Jivatma, living entity. So in this way, one understands the Absolute Truth. Go on.
Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Purport. To be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the supreme spirit, to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. The Absolute Truth is the objective of devotional service, and it is indicated by the word Sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called Sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the Absolute Nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Son of Pritha. Purport. The words prashaste karmani, or prescribed duties, indicate that there are many activities prescribed in the Vedic literatures which are purificatory processes, beginning from the time of conception up to the end of one's life. Such purificatory processes are adopted for the ultimate liberation of the living entity. In all such activities, it is recommended that one vibrate Om Tat Sat. The word Sad Bhave and Sadhu Bhave indicate the transcendental situation. Acting in Krishna consciousness is called Sattva, and one who is fully conscious of the activities of Krishna consciousness is called a sadhu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 21st verse, it is said that the transcendental subject matter becomes clear in the association of the devotees. The words used are satam prasangat. Without good association, one cannot achieve transcendental knowledge. When initiating a person or offering the sacred thread, one vibrates the words Om Tat Sat. Similarly, in all kinds of performance of yajna, the object is the supreme Om Tat Sat. The word Tad Artyam further means offering service to anything which represents the supreme, including such service as cooking and helping in the Lord's temple, or any other kind of work for broadcasting the glories of the Lord. The supreme words Om Tat Sat are thus used in many ways to perfect all activities and make everything complete.
Actually, the syllable Om indicates Krishna, as we said, and it is the same as the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the impersonalists prefer to chant Om because they think it's impersonal. They don't even like to mention the name directly, Krishna. Just like there are some, they don't like to even say the name of God. They say, well, you spell it Y, A, apostrophe, and they don't want to. Now, they say that's because the name is so holy that they don't want to say it. But actually, it's Maya's trick. Because this way, they become more and more impersonalists. And they cannot even mention the name of God, the holy name of God. That's the only, you see how Maya is tricking them. The only means for self-realization in the age of Kali is Harinam, to chant the name of Hari. But they become more and more deluded, and they don't even chant the name. Say the name is too holy to chant. It's too holy to say, to speak. This is Maya's trick. Or someone may say, the form of the Lord is too holy to see, so we have no form. God's form is too spiritual to see. So what you're worshiping then, your forms of the Lord, this is rejected as idols. Because God is too pure to see. If they say, if you see Him, you'll become blind. But we know there are many devotees who have seen Him and they did not become blind, but rather they got vision. Om Jnana Timarandasya. Actually, by seeing the Lord, darshan, one gets transcendental vision. He can see, by seeing Krishna, he sees everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Samahatma Sadurlabaha. Just by seeing the Lord, all one's sins are removed. Well, this idea of seeing God or chanting His name, these are not possible for people in the world. That's not correct. But rather, He is available through His name, through His form, nama, rupa, lila, His pastimes, His entourage, His instructions, everything. Continuing.
Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O son of Prita, is impermanent. It is called asat, and it is useless both in this life and in the next.
Yeah, so the point is that everything that one does in terms of yajna, dana, and tapa, sacrifice, charity, and penance should be done in pursuance of the Vedas, not outside. One should not invent some other sacrifice. Just like Prabhupada was very critical of a particular so-called Mahatma who had invented a system of performing penance, like fasting, but for a political cause, just for getting the British out of India. What does that have to do with the Vedas? Getting one group out. This is politics. This is not in the mode of goodness. This is not aiming for transcendence. But basically it's based on the false conception of one's kinsmen, Swajana. These are my people. India for my people. India for Indians. Well, what is this, Indians? It's all God's land. No one should claim this place is ours. No one else can come here. No, it's every place should be available for anyone to go. Because everyone is equally the son of God. They have a right to go wherever they like. There should be no... All this immigration is unnecessary. You're coming into my country now. You have to pay some tax. And you can't come. Of course, tax is required. We're not against taxes. Because in the Vedic system, the Kshatriyas would levy 25% tax on production. That was the only tax. There was one tax. And who was he taxing? He was taxing the Vaishyas. The Vaishyas would give 25% of their production to the Kshatriyas. And then in return, the Kshatriyas would give them protection and rule and make sure that things were organize, they'd administrate. That's the administrative cost for keeping the government, the state of the government, in good order. And if one had a bad year, there wasn't good crops for some reason, then his tax would be according to the production. They have a similar system now in countries like America, where they take a percentage of one's income, and that's acceptable, although sometimes it goes very high. They change it from time to time, but 25%, and that includes everything. And the the taxes are there. But it should be used for the administration of the government, should be used for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. The whole kingdom or the whole nation or whatever should be aimed at God consciousness and following the instructions of the scriptures. Continue.
Text 1, chapter 18. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas. O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Purport. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first 6 chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yogi nam api sarvesham. Of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is best.
So, the Bhagavad Gita is divided into 3 divisions. The first 6 chapters, next 6 chapters, and the third 6 chapters. So here is an analysis that the first 6 chapters, what do they conclude with? What is the summary? That's the verse right there. That's the last verse of the 6th chapter. Yogi nam api sarvesham magate nantaratmana. Shraddhavam bhajate yomam same yukta tumomata. And of all yogis, one who always engages in my transcendental loving service is most intimately united with yoga and is the highest of all. So that's the culmination of the first introductory 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Go on.
In the next 6 chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third 6 chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature, and the transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life.
It's like we see that the idea of having some sutra or mantra or some very powerful small weapon, it's like the atomic energy. It's not very big. You don't have to bring huge, big dynamite, thousands of tons of dynamite. You just have some little bit of nuclear, a little bit of atomic, and you know the science, how to make it, and then with that small amount, you separate and you can create a big explosion. There are seed mantras, bij mantras, that we chant in the Brahmins chant in different types of worship, just like in worshiping the deities. There are different bij mantras where one chants to indicate and to address the Supreme. So this Om Tat Sat, this is for addressing the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead. Or Om. Indicates Vishnu. Doesn't indicate the demigods. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is indicated like Om. So by that Om, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is indicated. And that's the purpose of the Vedas. That's the purpose of sacrifice. That's the purpose of austerities. And that is the purpose of giving charity. Charity should be given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the best use of charity. Go on.
This has been established by citing the past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service. For the Lord Himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and He is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. As in the 2nd chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter also, the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of life, sannyas. Thus, he is asking the meaning of these two words. Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Hrishikesha and Keshi Nishudana, are significant. Hrishikesh is Krishna, the master of the senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet, he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. Keshi was a most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. Text 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga." Purport. The performance of activities for results has to be given up. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But activities leading to advanced spiritual knowledge are not to be given up. This will be made clear in the next verse. In the Vedic literatures, there are many prescriptions of methods for performing sacrifice for some particular purpose. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good son or to attain elevation to the higher planets. But sacrifices prompted by desires should be stopped. However, sacrifice for the purification of one's heart or for advancement in the spiritual science should not be given up.
Yeah. Sacrifice, the idea is that giving up of activities, that's sannyas. So the impersonalists, they think that they misunderstand sannyas. They think, well, now there's nothing more to do. I've taken sannyas, I have no more business. No charity, no austerities, no penances and no sacrifice. No light, no fire, and perform no work. This is the idea of getting free from the reactions. They're thinking, if I stop acting on the karma level, then there won't be any reactions. But Krishna explains in another place that one who knows that action, who sees action and inaction and inaction and action, sees things in the proper way. So action and inaction means he's performing the action of trying not to act. That's an action. And it's a material action. Simply trying to stop something, it's just as much an action as trying to start something. If you have a big train that's coming and you try to stop it, well, you have to have brakes. And those brakes have to be very powerful to stop. They have to be just as much friction. This is a law of physics. To stop an object in motion requires an equal and opposite amount of energy. So where's the inaction? The action's already going. We have our karma. And we have our tendency. We have our body. We're in this material world. We're forced to act. But he's trying not to act. So he's spending so much energy trying not to act. And he's thinking that I'm not acting. So he's not seeing properly. On the other hand, when one acts for the pleasure of Krishna, then there's no reaction. Because he's not acting on the material level. So, one who sees inaction, inaction, means action in devotional service has no reaction. Go on.
Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned.
Yeah, this is a big question. To act or not to act? And Krishna will explain that yes, one should act, but for Krishna. Yajna tat karmanon yatra loko yam karma bandana tarartam karma konte mukta sangha samachana. Well, mukta sangha, he'll get liberation if he performs sacrifice for Vishnu. For example, one may think, I'll give a crude example. You may think, if I work in society, I make money, then I have to pay taxes. So I don't like paying taxes, so I won't work. But if someone works for the government voluntarily, he doesn't have to pay taxes. He's not bound up. But he's maintained. So that work is not binding. But yet he gets what he needs. A government servant is supplied nicely. Not lavishly, not extravagant, but he gets his necessities. The goal of life is not to try to acquire more and more things for oneself. That is an illusion. And that causes one great misery. These people who are working so hard to have everything in their name and to consider that it's theirs, they're living in an illusion. How can it be theirs? It was here before they came, and when they leave, it'll still be here. So how is it theirs? They're here for a few days only, and they claim it. Like, you know, a child, when he gets on the train, he sits, he says, "This is my seat." Well, it's your seat. How long is it your seat? For a few minutes, then he gets off, and the seat is used by someone else. So that is childish. Similarly, one who childishly claims these toys, these are mine, this is my house, my home, aham mameti, this is not spiritual. Spiritual understanding is that nothing belongs to me. Go on.
Text 4. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. Purport. Although there are differences of opinion about renunciation, here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, gives his judgment, which should be taken as final. After all, the Vedas are different laws given by the Lord. Here the Lord is personally present, and his word should be taken as final. The Lord says that the process of renunciation should be considered in terms of the modes of material nature in which they were performed.
Shri Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai.